Blog Talk Radio.
Party people in a place to be. Welcome to another week, another episode, another beautiful Sunday. Talk That Talk with Tweety and ALJ. I am ALJ.
What's going on, people? It's Tweety. Hope y'all have a good weekend.
Not a lot of time for pleasantries, as we got quite a plethora of topics. Actually, not a plethora of topics. A lot of stuff to talk about in relation to certain particular topics. So we're going to get right to it. Last night, the game that everybody, well, let me say everybody, that a lot of people were looking forward to, Saturday night ESPN, came on. Him on ABC. Spurs versus the Warriors at San Antonio. I believe the last game was at Golden State. Golden State won that game, and Steph Curry had an – I think if I remember correctly, he scored 37. Last night, Golden State lost 87-79. Steph Curry – did not have one of his greatest games. I don't know how many points he ended up with. I want to say like 16 points. He shot the ball terrible. I mean, that's basically what it come down to. What are your thoughts on the game last night?
I think that what happened was you saw San Antonio give Golden State just a tad bit of a, I guess you could say, a more in-your-face style defense when it came to Golden State Curry. It wasn't like a one-on-one matchup. It was they used everybody. I seen one at least by three or four possessions where everybody on the Spurs team had a chance at guarding him during one possession. It was just great defensive rotation by the Spurs. I expect the Warriors to adjust to it because they play again pretty soon here within the next few weeks in Golden State. But you saw a championship-caliber team in San Antonio Spurs able to enforce what they felt like was the best pace for them to win the game, and they never let Golden State get in any kind of a rhythm. So that's why you saw Golden State, where as far as Golden State, you saw the two big scores from Golden State as far as Steph Curry and Klay Thompson going combined with 2-for-19 from the three-point line. It was bad for them last night because of the pressure that San Antonio put on them defensively. But I wouldn't expect the same game come next time in Golden State.
So I didn't see every second or minute of this game. I was watching Dateline with my wife as well, so I missed some of the game. But for the most part, I watched the game. It was a very interesting game to me. I know that there is going to be – I haven't really been on social media, but I'm sure there is going to be an insatiable amount of talk come Monday when the normal or the more popular talk show hosts come back on TV. Excuse me, not TV.
Right.
Well, yeah, the TV.
Radio.
As well as radio. I'm sure there's going to be talk about, you know, have the Spurs figured out how to stop Steph Curry? And does this mean that the Warriors can't beat the Spurs and blah, 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 and this, that, and the third? No, it doesn't mean any of that. I mean, you know, I don't believe that, you know, I don't believe that the Spurs have found some type of outstanding way to some outstanding way to stop Steph Curry. Now, I do think that I heard a lot of people say, you know, I did see a little bit of social media last night. Some people say, oh, defense still wins championships, and, you know, them boys don't know how to handle defense. And I can't stand it when people say that, because that is implying that when San Antonio and Golden State played the first time, that implies that San Antonio did not play defense. Or it implies that San Antonio did not care enough during that first game to play defense to the point to where they would just allow guy, you know, the Steph Curry to do whatever he wanted to. The bottom line is Golden State last night missed a lot of shots that they normally make. Now, San Antonio played great. Don't get me wrong. This is the kind of game that, you know, whether it's San Antonio or any other team, this is how you have to play to beat Golden State. And I mean in terms of tempo, you want to keep it low scoring, because if Golden State is only scoring 79 points, chances are,
by the way.
Yeah, chances are that means that they're not hitting very many three-pointers, which if you're an opposing team, you know, that's very good. They didn't. Draymond Green shot the ball well. Oh, no, he didn't. Excuse me. He did shoot 50%, but he's only 1-for-5 for three. Steph Curry is 1-for-12 for three-point line, and Klay Thompson was 1-for-7 for three-point line. But I do think that it was a great game. Kawhi Leonard didn't play – I wouldn't say offensively. He played his greatest game, even though he had 14 points. LaMarcus Aldridge had the greatest percentage, but he was pretty dominant in the game. And I think what you saw towards the end of that game was one of the ways that you have to try to beat Golden State is, but you know, the Spurs did a really good job of switching all the pick and rolls and just switching on some of the down screens. Some of the single double screens. But the other thing I thought that the Spurs did, especially down the stretch, was they pounded Golden State on the offensive glass.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't pay attention. I don't know if Andrew Bogut is hurt, but I don't recall seeing him play at all last night. I don't recall seeing Maurice Spates play last night. Again, now, like I said, I did miss bits and pieces of the game, but I don't recall seeing either one of them playing. And, of course, we know Andre Iguodala is out right now. So, I mean, I definitely think that plays a big role. I mean, maybe not Bogut as much, but absolutely Andre Iguodala being out is a huge thing, because, you know, that's part of, he is one of the members of that great lineup that Golden State puts together. And, I don't think anything to worry about. I mean, you know, they lost a game. It ain't the end of the world. Teams lose all the time. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
They're still ahead of the pace.
I mean, I don't think that as bad as their two superstars played or shot the ball last night to only lose by 8. And in reality, if you watch the game, they really only lost probably about 4 or 5. But you know, as the game got to like 20-some-odd seconds, they started fouling. You know, so we're talking with Steph Curry playing that bad, because he was probably terrible last night, from what I saw. He played terrible. It wasn't just he was missing shots, but I thought he was kind of forcing the issue on some things.
Yeah, true.
You know,
man,
he sounded like opportunities where he probably. In the past, if he were having a better shooting night, maybe he would have passed it. I thought he was being a little bit too forceful at times. But, you know, whatever. When it works out for you, you're a great player. And then when it doesn't, we say you're being forceful. I know a lot of people are going to look at the negative side. They lost. Steph Curry didn't play well. Do you know how to shut Steph Curry down? Whereas I do think that is a factor, although I don't think. You know, we talked about how I feel defense is not necessarily overrated, but I don't think you shut great players down. I think that, again, if I were the Warriors, I'd say, hey, you know what? We lost by 8. Steph didn't shoot the ball very well. Klay didn't shoot. I mean, Klay wasn't terrible, but he didn't have a Klay-like shooting. Now, he was 7-for-20.
Right.
Between those two, they only hit 2 threes. I don't know that you have much to hang your head. I mean, you know, you don't have much to be down about. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm sure, like I said, it'll be overreaction Monday.
Different staff prevailed. Like, the Golden State staff prevailed and Golden State, San Antonio staff prevailed in San Antonio. It is what it is. That's what good teams do. They're able to enforce their will, especially when the environment favors them. Like I don't think San Antonio is going to be able to beat. I don't think they're going to beat them and go to state. Come what's that? April 4th is when they play again.
I don't know. I don't think San Antonio is going to beat them in a 7-game series, because I don't expect Golden State to shoot like this. over a 7-game series. And I think if San Antonio, I think if both teams play their best game, I think I think Golden State wins. Maybe I'm a little bit biased. As I've said before, I am a Golden State fan, so I could be slightly biased, but, that's my opinion. But moving on to more pressing issues, and I cannot get this thing to come up for the life of me on here. But the NCAA tournament. Before we even hit the men's NCAA tournament, did you realize that the women's NCAA tournament is going on right now as well?
Right.
I don't think most of America realize it.
They start the day after the men's tournament, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe that is correct. I thought about that because I was wondering why people pay so much attention to the men's bracket, but nobody, I'm going to say nobody, but it's not as big, the women's bracket is clearly not as big of a deal.
Right. It's just because the sport of women basketball is not even closely, remotely as popular. I ain't going to say watchable because there is a lot of great basketball. There's a lot of good basketball played at certain schools on the college level. But overall, the men's tournament is more interesting mainly because you have a lot of lower seeds beating higher seeds, and that usually don't happen in the women's side.
Yeah, and the women's, I think that's the key right there. There's no parity in women's basketball. Notre Dame has been in the final, has been, I think, in a championship game like 4 of the last 5 seasons. Has UConn ever lost in the championship? Has UConn ever lost in the tournament, or do they just win every year? That's what it seems like. UConn just wins every year. But that's neither here nor there. We'll move on with life. Okay, men's basketball tournament. We're about 3.5 days into the tournament. They got a game on right now and then a couple more to go today. After today's games, we'll be down to Sweet 16. But the theme of this tournament so far has been David slaying Goliath, whatever cool guy way you want to describe it, where the guy gal you don't expect to win beats the guy gal, however you want to describe it. That's what's basically been going down so far in the men's NCAA tournament. Probably the most shocking one is Michigan State, a 2 seed. Losing to 15th seed Middle Tennessee State. Why do you think that there's been so many upsets so far in the tournament?
Because, I don't want to sound like an old man, but at one point in time, there was a lot of, even at the big schools, you had a lot of senior leadership. Well, now at the big schools, it's a lot of one and dones, and the more experienced players are at the smaller schools that win their conference tournaments to get in and have a good 25-26 win season because they have 3 seniors and 2 juniors starting and they start in 5, where, like you said, you got a young team. Like, let's say West Virginia lost to Stephen F. Foster. That was, to me, a big-time upset because I had West Virginia going to my Final Four. You got a lot of young people who don't respond well to pressure. And even when you had big-time senior leadership in big-time schools back in the day, each game in the NCAA tournament, except for maybe the 1-16 matchups, are usually competitive. So you have to respond to pressure situations. And if you ain't ever been in these situations on this type of a stage, or you don't even have any – this your first time playing college basketball, you fresh out of high school, something totally different. And I think you see more and more talent going spread out because of everybody's on TV now. It's not really a big deal to go to the big school because if I can just get to the NCAA tournament, I can make a name for myself. So you got talent going to smaller schools now just because they can play, so they can get the exposure. And I think you got talent dispersed. It's a lot of parity, and it's a lot more experience at the smaller level than it is at the big time level.
I agree with you, but I'm going to have to disagree with you as well. I agree with you that the mid-major teams, or not all of them, right? Some are pretty small D1 schools, having seniors and juniors. I think that definitely helps when it comes to, you know, guys being a little bit more steady, having a steadier hand and stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, even with those seniors, I mean, most of these teams, it's not like they go to the NCAA tournament every year. So I don't know that that experience has plays as big a factor because it's their first time on the national stage. The part that I disagree with you about is I don't know that one and done is hurting the tournament that much because if you look back through the history of the tournament, especially over the last 10 years, it's not as if these freshmen that are coming in playing 1 year and going to the NBA is not exactly as if they were dominating in the tournament. I mean, you can make the argument that if they had stayed, maybe at some point they would have. But it's not like, you know, like one game, Andrew Wiggins, he's in college, he scored 6 points in one of the tournament games. Kansas didn't really do much the year he was there, and they had two of the top three picks, him and Joel Embiid. Anthony Bennett, UNLV. I'm trying to think who was I can't. That's as far as I can think off the top of my head. Kyrie Irving, but I mean, you know, if these guys had stayed in, maybe they would have won championship. Maybe they wouldn't have. You know, who knows? But I don't think that plays as big a factor. I always think I think experience helps to understand how certain things go sometimes, but at the end of the day, you're still playing basketball. Is this a different gym, a different place? Can it help you a little bit, having been there, done that a little bit? Yeah, but, you know, basketball is basketball. That's how I look at it. I think sometimes maybe if you have experience playing a certain team or a certain coach or a certain type of style of team, I think that helps more than I've been in the NCAA tournament before. Oh, you know
what? I've been in the NCAA tournament before. I think it's more, I know how this person plays. I've been playing with this person for 4 years now, 3 years now.
Well, yeah.
I think that's kind of what how Golden State beats people. Like this team that they've built was not an overnight team. Like these boys have learned each other.
Yeah, I mean, they've learned each other, but you still have to be good.
You can play with each other forever,
and, you know.
Yeah, if you don't, I get you that, but, if you don't have any talent, you're really not going to make it to the tournament unless you hold a
draw. But having a senior-laden team experience is one of those things that's always thrown around a lot in sports. I mean, you hear, these guys don't have enough experience. These guys don't have enough experience. You got, I'm not always that sold on that. I think experience is kind of overrated in sports. Actually, I'm about 100% certain. I'm about 95% certain that experience is overrated in sports. If you look at it like this, if you're a guy, we're kind of getting off the subject, so I'm going to make my point and move back to the tournament. If NBA teams, if you're a four-year guy, you've been in college for 4 years, and I come out of high school, I play 1 year, and let's say we're of equal talent at that particular time in their life, NBA teams want me more than they want you because I have a higher upside. Yeah, right. So that's what I'm saying. Experience. You only hear experience when it sounds good, when it sounds like it's the situation. But if the experience theory,
like you say, upside sounds better than experience because now I can see
you
as more.
But that ain't what you just said.
I said experience gives these smaller teams a better chance in the NCAA tournament. That's what I said. That's why. I think that's the only reason why they got a shot. Because they don't get the talented one and done.
Now you don't have to have, but no team there's not a team that's left in the tournament that has a top, that has one, somebody, except for, well, no, Kentucky's out, that has a one-and-done guy.
No, what I'm saying is they don't
left.
Get them in general.
It
period.
Matter.
They don't.
There's
like, Stephen
and
Foster
teams,
not getting the one-and-done. Yes,
okay,
it does matter.
Even if you, okay, tell me the last one-and-done player that had a huge impact in the NCAA tournament.
Jahlil Okafor.
Okay. He had a, he
just
didn't play good in the championship game.
Willie Cauley-Stein.
He wasn't a one-and-done. He was a guy for like 2 or 3. He played at least 2 years.
Okay, my fault. You're right. You're right. He played 2 years. But let's say, Tyus Jones, the little light-skinned boy that went to Duke, he's a one-and-done.
And you know what he's doing now in the NBA, sitting on the bench.
Don't matter. We got somebody.
But neither one of those guys were dominant. It's not like either one of those guys went out and scored like 25, 30-plus points a game. Did they play really good? Absolutely. They played really good. But it's not like they went out and they dominated every game that they played.
But what I'm saying is Coach K, programs like Duke, Carolina, West Virginia, Maryland, you don't have to rely on chemistry because you get the talent. Schools like Stephen F. Austin, Holy Cross, Yale, they rely more on team chemistry building more than talent because they're probably not going to get the talent that even going to have a chance to go to the NBA. That's what I'm saying. You ask me why did I see the upset? That's why, in my opinion.
I'm just
because
saying,
if you're going to go straight off
I,
talent, West Virginia shouldn't have lost to Stephen F. Austin.
I was saying my point was that I think experience is overrated. That's all my point
okay.
is. Because a lot of these teams have guys who are seniors that don't get in the game because they're not
talented.
And I can
say talent is overrated because you have a lot of talented teams going home.
You're talking about one game. If you played over the course of the seven games.
I'm not talking about one game. We're talking about this NCAA tournament. Have you not seen more
talented
teams?
They're playing one game. They're playing one game.
That's the only thing we can go off of, LJ, because they play one game system. That's what they do.
No. No.
What do you mean, no? That's what they do.
You're talking about
a specific tournament. You can't go off of nothing else in college basketball.
So tell me this. Would you rather have a more talented team or a team that has a bunch of seniors on it? Which one do you
rather
have?
Have a more talented team.
Okay, then. So
you
how are you making an argument that talent doesn't that talent is not as big as you?
I didn't say it didn't matter. You asked me a question of why did I see so many upsets. I answered that question because I said a lot of the smaller schools have a lot of seniors with talent.
You didn't say with talent. You just
said
with experience.
Yes, I did. I said because you have a lot more people with a little talent that can go to smaller schools and play where they wouldn't probably play at Kansas right away. They wouldn't probably play at North Carolina right away. But you go to Stephen F.
Austin.
But
they wouldn't play at all
play.
Because they don't have the talent to play at that level.
They might not. Well, they have enough talent. And they, after playing for 4 years, they got enough talent and enough team
not
chemistry
true.
To compete with the big boys now.
I disagree.
Well, what is your reason for all the upset?
What is my reason for all the upset? I think that, one, I think that matchups make a difference in tournaments when you see teams for the first time. If you watch a lot of these mid-majors and smaller schools, how many of those teams are running zone versus how many of teams from the Power 5 conferences consistently run zone? Most of these Power 5 conference teams are play man-to-man defenses. Look at how the mid major and below teams play. In my opinion, they move the ball more. Their offenses run smoother. They make more passes. They move the ball from side to side. Things that the larger schools, not that they don't do, but they haven't done as much. And then when they start to lose, the game starts to get tight. Then because the larger schools have more talent individually, they start to get more guys who rely on their individual talents to try to take over the game versus the smaller schools. As the game stays close, they just continue to do the same thing, stay within themselves, continue to run offense, stuff like that, move the ball, rely on screens as opposed to relying on individual talent. That's why I
because
think
they
that,
don't
that
have
they
it.
Want. You just said that
they
did.
They go by team chemistry. I said they don't have the same talent
you just
as
said
Kentucky
they talent.
Or the Carolina, but they have enough talent now to compete with them because they played with each other for 2 or 3 years, and like you say, they know now I can stay within myself when it does get the pressure situation, so I ain't got to panic. I guarantee you, you put that same team, this same Stephen F. Austin team on the court 3 years ago, not now, 3 years ago, they probably didn't make the tournament. Running the same style, running the same, they got the same coach, so I know their style ain't changed. It's about how long, how, especially with these smaller schools. Do I know how to play with you? And do we have the talent to compete with the big boys? We don't have the talent of the big boys. Like Notre Dame has way more talent man for man than Stephen F. Austin. It's a two-point game right now. Two-point game right now. Because Stephen F. Austin, this team here, they got three juniors and a senior starting, and they have one player who may be talented enough to play in the D-League.
So so since you said all these senior-laden teams from these, why have the overwhelming majority of the mid-major and below teams lost since your theory is so foolproof?
They make the tournament interesting because of the talent. They don't win. They don't win because they don't have the talent over Carolina. Answer the question, please.
What?
You ask me a question and let me answer it. They already don't have the talent of a Kentucky or a Carolina. That's why that's probably why you don't see them winning. But when you do have a team like a George Mason make it to a Final Four, that's the only reason they made it is because of chemistry. It damn sure wasn't because of talent.
So what happened to what you were just saying a few minutes ago about they having?
You asked me why upset happened in the first round. I told you why.
Hold on, let me finish.
Ain't nothing happened. My argument is not changing.
Let me finish.
If you say Stephen F. Austin, it ain't. If you say Stephen F. Austin make it, they made it because they have chemistry. They got to have talent to compete. I thought that was understood. You can't suck and come out here and compete with nobody. I thought that was understood. That's common sense. But what I'm saying to you is they don't have the talent of a Carolina, of a West Virginia, but they come out here and win because they know how to play with each other. Like you say, instead of referring back to individual. And so what? That's all they got to do is win one game to throw off everybody back and to have a story to have you asking me these questions. That's all it has to do with
okay,
being
but
one
game. But the way you're talking, this is what I hear. I hear that you're making it seem like that because mid-major and below teams have seniors, they've been playing together for 4 years, and while they don't have as much talent, they are getting more talented players now because more teams are playing on TV, and they can go into the tournament and compete. I'm telling you that I disagree because everything that you look out there tells you that that's incorrect. Because what you're seeing is anecdotal examples of that working. An upset here, an upset there. But for the majority of the game across the board, the larger team that are playing against the smaller teams are beating them. It happens every year. Larger teams tend to. Okay, but I'm just saying. Like I don't. That's what I'm saying. To me, I disagree with your argument because over a 1 or 2 game series, yeah, maybe. But you're talking about overall. That doesn't watch. Experience in my opinion is overrated.
Are we not? Well, we not talking about?
No, I was saying. I'm saying. You know, we're talking about the tournament too.
We can always go through history and look at the fact that the boys with the most talent always win. But if you're going to tell me that experience is overrated, I'm going to tell you that why the hell is Stephen F. Foster, why is Stephen F. Foster playing Notre Dame? Why is
they
Middle
won,
Tennessee
they,
State
because
eating?
They won one game.
They,
because the
and that's all you have to do in college, LJ.
Okay,
all you got to do in
tell
the
me
tournament,
how many,
win
you know
one game, and then you got to score.
You know how many times a broken clock is right at least 2 times a day? That
okay,
don't mean that's the clock you
that
want.
Broken clock then,
okay.
Bro. That, ain't got
that don't mean that's
what
the clock
about.
You want. All right, y'all. We out of time this week. Thank y'all
Damn,
for tuning
we
in.
We out of time.
Now have a great weekend. Right. Oklahoma gonna win the championship. My bracket is looking straight. See y'all next week.
Peace.